This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The season upon us begs the question, why do you pay your taxes? Well, you might say, everybody pays taxes, even the president. $227,490 in federal income tax, according to a statement issued today by the White House. But what really drives you year after year to fight through impenetrable forms and hand over your hard-earned money? Well, most of us don't have a choice. Our employers take our taxes out of our salaries. Many others see it as a civic duty. And all of us live in fear of an audit. Auditing is the muscle behind the tax system. Any one of us, even the president, can get a dreaded letter from the IRS. But there have been fewer audits over the past few years, and now the rate of checkups is at an all-time low. Great news for the taxpayer? Maybe not. Face-to-face audits of big businesses are declining faster than those of any other group, and that may mean hundreds of millions of dollars in uncollected revenue. In honor of Tax Day, an audit of the IRS. We'll talk about the decreasing rate of audits and speak with the former commissioner of the IRS, also with current and former members of IRS oversight boards to find out what the Internal Revenue Service is spending its time and your money on. So, have you been audited, or have you ever gotten away with fudging on your taxes? Call and tell us your story. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us here in Studio 3A to discuss the declining audit numbers is David Burnham, the co-founder and co-director of the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse at Syracuse University, which published the findings. And good to have you on the program, David.
Thank you very much.
Where do you get your numbers?
From the IRS itself. And from the Justice Department, partly under Freedom of Information Act and partly on a voluntary basis from the IRS.
Okay, and obviously the ones from the Justice Department are those matters that are referred to them as criminal matters.
As criminal matters, yes.
So how long has the rate of audits been declining?
For businesses?
Mm-hmm.
It goes back a long, long way. But we see dramatic decline in the last few years. Audits of all businesses are down. Audits of all corporations are down. Audits of big corporations are down. Audits of what we call pass-through organizations are down. Pass-throughs is a partnership, which is something Enron used to sort of fiddle with its money. The criminal prosecution of violators is down. So the whole thrust of enforcement is really off. And what makes this especially of interest is that the President of the United States and the IRS Commissioner have in the last few months made a great deal of how they're going to go after the corporate malefactors. And the contrast between what they say and what their government is doing is quite stark.
And the figure that jumps out at everybody almost every year, what's the percentage of corporations that pay no tax at all?
It's very large. It's like 60%, I believe. But we're not...
That's not your principal
that's
concern.
That's not our principal concern. Our concern is what is the government doing to make sure that they pay what they owe.
Okay, that's corporations then. What about individuals? Are the number of audits of individuals declining?
At the present moment, if you include what they call correspondence audits, which are the things you get in the mail, and it may require a couple of hours to fill out and return, if you include those, they are somewhat up. If you do not include the correspondence audits, if you're just thinking about the face-to-face audits, mm-hmm. The last 3 years they've been steady. The audits for wealthier Americans, in fact, went up a little bit. In the last year or so.
Wealthier Americans are those who made up over...
$100,000, yes.
Okay. And when you talk about these correspondence audits, those are done by computer, basically?
They are largely computerized. The IRS has a number of computerized programs. There's a math checking program, and there's a program where if you get income from another source and the company that you work for, they check those.
Mm-hmm.
And the correspondence audits may be a little more complicated than that, but they're essentially computerized.
Let's talk percentages. What percentage of corporations get audited every year?
this gets really complicated, and the numbers on the radio are hard. I think one number that is of really interesting is that the audit of large corporations is today half what it was 5 years ago.
And by the way, if you want to look at these numbers in detail, there's a way to do it.
There is a way to do it. Every listener can go to the website that TRAC, Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, maintains, and that is trac.syr.edu, and you can see all these numbers, and there's a text, and there are beautiful tables and graphs.
And, all right, so the percentage of individuals who get audited every year?
That's down around 1.6. They're both low, very low.
But if you're an individual, you're much less likely to get audited than if you're a business.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're a big business.
If you're a big business.
If you're a big business. Big businesses do get audited a lot, but the audits are down.
So why is the question?
I don't know what is going on in the heart of the administration and Congress. But the basic reason that audits are down is that you have fewer people to audit. And over the years, administrations have requested less and less money for the staff. And so the staff is down. I mean, the staff of the IRS is down by a third in the last 10 years, I think it is, and the number of returns being filed is up by a quarter.
Now, this is you'd think that this is one of those areas of even the government ought to be able to get some more productivity out of computers.
If they wanted to. You know, there are Edmund Burke, the Irish writer and philosopher, wrote that the revenue of the state is the state. Taxes are essential for airports, for highways, for education, for all of those. And if you are of a mind that doesn't want the federal government doing that, one way to get at that, it has been argued, is to starve the beast and cut into tax enforcement. Pull back on taxes. We have tax cuts, but this could be one aspect of this of certain political elements who do not want government to grow. In fact, they want it to decline. And I think there is no question there are a lot of people in the House of Representatives who feel that way. Mm-hmm. You know, really believe that the federal government is wrong.
But it's fair to say that this decline in audits did begin during the Clinton administration.
It is fair to say. Mm-hmm. And it's gone on for many years, and that the administrations have asked for insufficient funds to increase taxes, and Congress has sort of lived with it comfortably.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join our conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address, again, is totn@npr.org. We'll begin with Forrest, who's with us from Wichita, Kansas.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
Well, I have a question. I have a question in that I think that the number of corporate returns, it doesn't surprise me audits have gone down, because there have been a massive number of reincorporations, corporations going from C-corps to S-corps and LLCs over the last 8 years in particular because of the tax advantages, and it would seem to make sense that there's a corresponding number of higher income Americans facing more audit than IRS. And I just don't buy the argument that there's that many corporate. I mean, for every Enron, there's 100 companies that are doing the right thing, and the tax laws make it very advantageous for a company to convert from a C-corp to an S-corp.
David Burnham?
I hear you, sir. The business audits are down, corporate audits are down, and pass-through audits are down, and criminal enforcement down. And if you look at the whole range, businesses are being audited a whole lot less than they were. And this poll is not related directly to corporations, but the IRS itself has done polling that shows that the willingness of the American public to fudge on their taxes is going up. And I think you need cops on the street to make sure that people don't go through red lights By the way, Commissioner Everson talked about we needed cops on the street to assure that people paid their taxes. And if you have a staff that's down by one-third in this period and the number of returns is going up, I think it's a problem.
Well, with all due respect, sir, most states, if you read some of the literature lately, particularly in the media, most states are experiencing a decrease in the number of corporations actually filing tax returns because of the S-Corp conversion. So I hear what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree that it's the epidemic that I think you're painting it out to be.
Well, we're talking audits per return, sir.
Forrest, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. David Burnham just mentioned fewer cops on the street, at least in terms of auditing the IRS. Audits are, of course, aimed to intimidate the average taxpayer into good behavior, as well as catching the bad guys. According to a recent survey conducted by the IRS Oversight Board, people are not as scared into good behavior as they used to be. Joining us now by phone is Bob Tobias. He's a member of the IRS Oversight Board, also former president of the National Treasury Employees Union, a professor at American University. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what did you ask and what did you find out in your survey?
Well, a couple of very interesting things. One, that the number of people who said that it was okay to cheat on filing of taxes declined from 87% to 81% from May 1999 to July 2003.
So, am I reading that right? Many more people said it was okay to cheat.
That is correct, and I think that's a very troubling number.
And what did they mean by cheat exactly?
Well, the question said, "Is it? Do you think it is an acceptable amount to cheat on your income tax, if any?" And they answered, they defined a cheat, and they answered the question, 87% in 99 and 81% in 03. So what it seems to me is that more people are saying that it's okay to cheat on tax returns.
Well, what do you think could be done to turn that around? More audits?
Well, I think that the IRS Oversight Board has recommended that the budget for 2005 be increased by 10% rather than the 4.8% recommended by the administration. That would allow for the hiring of about 3,300 additional enforcement personnel to offset the 25% decline in enforcement personnel since 1996. So this is not about really a new enforcement initiative. It's about trying to reinstate the lost employees over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't new technology do just as well?
New technology is certainly important to the IRS, but in the end, auditing a return requires individual people to look at the numbers and determine whether the return is consistent with the tax code. And some of that can be done by technology, but much of it has to be done using judgment.
Can I chime in here? The using computers comes down harder on individual taxpayers, and it's less useful for corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And so individuals can be hit up more, but corporations aren't.
Those are more complicated returns. And
yes.
Lots of loopholes and lots of things to worry about, so they need the fine eye of a trained accountant, basically.
Absolutely.
Well, the other piece of enforcement is, in addition to auditing, is collecting the taxes that are due and owing. And that's the other piece of enforcement that needs to be reinforced. So if people aren't paying the amount of money that's been withheld to pay Social Security, someone from the IRS has to go out and collect that from the business owner who's failed to remit it.
Bob Tobias, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bob Tobias, a member of the IRS Oversight Board. By the way, we got an email question about the address. Well, we'll give it after the break. We'll continue with David Burnham and continue with our audit of the IRS. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the IRS, and we've been speaking with David Burnham of the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse at Syracuse University about the decline, particularly in business audits. And by the way, that web address if you'd like to see the full report, www.track.syr.edu. Then click on the track-IRS link, and that'll get you right there. You can see the report in full. We should also mention that we invited representatives from the Internal Revenue Service to join us on the program. They declined. But joining us now is Donald Alexander, who served as commissioner of the IRS during the Nixon and Ford administrations. He now works as a tax attorney, and he's with us from his office in Washington. Thanks very much for being with us today, sir.
Glad to be with you.
And wanted to ask you, what do you think needs to be done to restore the faith in the IRS?
Well, I think the IRS has some things to do, and Congress has some things to do. Congress should give the IRS some more money, and IRS should use that money wisely.
And well, that's a very simple formula. Do you think that's going to do it?
Well, there's a lot more to it than that, of course. Using it wisely is where it takes a lot of things, and the IRS, I'm not sure, is prepared to do all of them. One, the IRS should do more wholesale and less retail. Two, the IRS should call on taxpayers, particularly large corporations, to tell IRS through a new Schedule M3 otherwise where the needle is buried in the haystack. IRS has been hunting for the needle in the haystack laboriously for years, sometimes finding it and sometimes not.
Has noncompliance always been a problem?
Always. Always. I think since 1913. I can't remember back any further than that.
Well, that's when, Internal Revenue first was authorized.
That's right. We had an income tax for a while before that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Internal Revenue Service, Bureau of Internal Revenue, came into being back in 1913. It's been hanging around ever since. And it does too much at the retail level, and it can't do it.
Well, just before the break, we heard from Bob Tobias, though, about that survey that the Oversight Board did, which showed many more people think it's now okay to fudge on their tax returns. Clearly, that's a new development.
Well, it's new in a way, and it's not in a way. Responses to surveys, it happened to be something that I'm somewhat skeptical about. Sometimes people say what they want the hearer to hear from them as opposed to what they actually want to do. People don't come out and say, hey, I cheat on my taxes very often,
mm-hmm.
because they're afraid that the person they may be telling is an IRS person.
Or somebody who's got the IRS's phone number and maybe some animus involved. Anyway, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. David joins us now from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Neil. Hi. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You know, I prepare tax returns, and I'm a CPA, and I find that people aren't afraid at all to push the limits.
In what way? Can you give us, without any names, of course, some specifics?
Generally, the vague areas, automobile miles, business meals, things that are, you know, you can come up with the receipts if you need them.
Mm-hmm. And so this is really at the edges, though. We're not talking, if you're talking, you know, driving miles, this is not big money you're talking here.
No, we're talking about changing the amount you owe to the government from $1,200 to $500.
Which is pretty significant for a lot of people.
Yeah, you save $700.
And as a tax, somebody who prepares tax returns, you go along with that, or do you say, hey, wait a minute, you may want to rethink this?
I let them know that it's, you know, the audit ball is in their court. You know, you can take the chances. It's you're the one that's going to pay the penalties and interest and get the letter.
If there's an audit, they often would call the preparer in as well, right?
Well, yeah, on an hourly basis.
Aha, I see. So this is not your problem in life.
Really, it isn't.
Have you noticed a decline in audits, though?
For sure I have, and I've found that dealing with the IRS is such a cumbersome nuisance and they seem so backwards that, you know, you can almost get things past them.
Okay. You're reporting to those offices less often than you used to, perhaps?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, David.
You bet.
David Burnham, let me ask you, if what David just told us and what the survey told us is accurate, then is that indicative of reasons why corporations might think they might fudge a little bit more?
I would think so. But one thing I'd like to add to David's comment there is that under the law, you are authorized to search for the minimal tax. So there's this ambiguity in finding what is the minimum that you owe. And you're not supposed to pay 25% more than you owe. And the judgment here is very complicated. And this, of course, gets to the complexity of the tax law. And everybody's been talking forever about simplifying the tax laws. And
I don't think there's ever been a presidential candidate who has not campaigned for simpler tax laws, including incumbents.
Right.
They never do it, though. Donald Alexander, let me ask you, back in the mid-90s, this was a period where the IRS was extremely unpopular and tried to change its image, become more taxpayer-friendly, customer service. Has that been a productive policy?
Not really. The 1997 commission report, followed by the 1997 hearings and the theatrical 1998 hearings, mm-hmm. Which produced the crackdown on IRS in the 98 law, did vast damage to the IRS. There was a notion spread around by some people who should have known better that an educated taxpayer was a compliant taxpayer. Well, I think our little problem that we've had lately with tax shelters show that some of the best educated taxpayers are the least compliant taxpayers. But nevertheless, some very prominent people, including one former commissioner, were spreading that notion around. Of course, in the 90s, when there was an anti-government feeling in the House of Representatives particularly, anything government does is bad. Government is genuinely evil. That's what one Speaker of the House actually thought. We discovered a huge campaign against IRS. Part of it was political. Part of it was ideological. Part of it was both. Part of it was real, because IRS louses up from time to time. And we had an overreaction in IRS to cut compliance down to the absolute minimum, and we've been reaping the whirlwind lately.
How much money do you figure the government is losing?
Well, the House position is it's losing $300 billion. They don't know. When I was in the corner office, I didn't know, but I'm guessing that it's closer to $350 billion than it is to $300 billion. It might be $400 billion. They think it's 15%. I think it's higher than that because more people are going off the rolls, are not getting W-2s. And when people don't get W-2s, they're inclined to skim and skip and take the actions that David, the tax return preparer, just told you about.
Yeah, temptation suddenly rears its head.
It rears its head, and the bucks are showing.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for joining us today.
Yep, my pleasure.
Donald Alexander was IRS commissioner in the Nixon and Ford administrations, currently a tax attorney with Akin, Gump, Strauss, and Hauer. He was with us from his office in Washington, D.C. Let's get another caller on the line, and Jay is with us from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I was going to say that I've been through an audit, and it wasn't all that bad an experience.
And was this as an individual, or are you a business owner?
Well, at the time, I am a business owner now. And at the time, my wife and I had just started a business. And to tell you the truth, it was an Amway business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had the poor judgment to sit down next to an IRS person and invite them into the business and tell them maybe about the tax benefits of the business.
I see.
And soon found myself in an audit. The person who helped us with our taxes was Mr. Thompson up in Gaithersburg. He was very helpful. He told us how to take a folder and have one folder for each line item of the taxes, and have all of our receipts that supported that number inside it with a adding machine tape that added them up. And we did that. And the young lady that helped us was, very reasonable, good-humored, and efficient. But I do have to say that she had these computer printouts that said, "Here's what the audit." And when they were all done, they told us that we owed them $900. And I looked through the folders that she had pulled and the ones that she hadn't, and realized that she hadn't asked for our charitable deductions. And opening it up, I realized that my deductions to my church, I hadn't included on the taxes that year at all. And now they would have had that reported by the church. And they knew there were charitable contributions that I hadn't reported. That should have thrown that, should not have, I mean, that should have argued against my being audited to begin with.
So not all that bad an experience, but a little chicanery there, you figure?
Well, yeah, I definitely saw where the system was spun against me. Now, As a business person now, I have to tell you, I'm just starting out, and last year was very unprofitable. Well, I made a profit, but I've already made more money this year than I made all of last year. And the ability to pay those estimated taxes and the Social Security when you're barely able to find gas to put in your car, I think that they could be a little overbearing on people if they're not careful, and that would, they want people like me to grow into bigger businesses and employ people.
Okay, Jay, thanks very much for the call.
Welcome.
Let's ask David Burnham. I mean, do audits usually involve nefarious activity, or is it relatively benign, like our caller there?
You know, the IRS has a lot of good people, and they're trying to do the right thing. And I've had a lot of taxpayers tell me they had good experience with the IRS. I wrote a book on the IRS a number of years ago, and I found a lot of horror stories where the IRS was abusive, where it was used for political purposes by presidents and otherwise. So it's a mixed bag. What we need is good oversight. We need the press and the public to understand what the IRS is doing and what it's not doing, and really keep track of it and, sort of make it do the right thing.
Who or what is to blame is not always the easiest question to answer. And here to give us another interpretation of the roots of the IRS's woes is Jeff Trinka. He was the commissioner of the National Commission on Restructuring the IRS that oversaw the revamping of the agency back in the 90s. He joins us by phone from his office here in Washington. Thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon. I was actually the chief of staff for the commission.
Correct. You're absolutely right, and I apologize. I misread it.
You gave me a promotion.
Well, in that case, you probably owe some back taxes for that.
No, I'm very careful. Having done IRS oversight for 20 years, I'm very careful in that regard.
I wonder, just a minute ago, we were speaking with Donald Alexander. I wonder if you agree with him that the responsibility of the IRS starts and ends with enforcing tax payment.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly the IRS Restructuring Commission found the IRS had a number of jobs, at least three or four that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, they reconcile a lot of returns. People self-assess themselves on a tax return, and they send that in, whether electronically or paper, and there's essentially a giant factory aspect of the IRS that processes that return and gets you your refund, but essentially reconciles at the end of the year what you've paid during the year and what you owe or what they owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge process, and a large amount of the IRS's resources are devoted to that. There's then the obvious piece that I think Don has focused on rightfully over the years, and that's essentially the people with the badges. I mean, they are the financial police for the federal government, and making sure that everyone down to the individual with the earned income tax credit clear up to the large multinational corporation pays what they're supposed to pay under the law. But then there's also a big part of it, which is essentially a lot like a credit card company, in the sense that they manage accounts, they answer questions, sometimes they assist taxpayers, but sometimes they're also calling and reminding them that they owe a bill. And and so there were really the three large jobs that we gave to them, not to mention a lot of the other things that we give them to do, which is policing international terrorism and some other stuff that we throw in on top of all that.
We're talking about the IRS with Jeff Trinka and David Burnham. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jeff Trinka, let me ask you, back when you were on the staff and talking about the revamping of the IRS, what were you trying to correct for?
Well, there is a sense that the agency was frozen in the 60s, and that was all three of those things that I touched on, both the way they police, the way they interact with taxpayers on a daily basis, and the way they file these, this annual paper chase that occurs every year during mm-hmm. filing season, and they weren't able to get themselves off the dime and move in a new direction. And so what the commission was set up to go back and review and figure out how we can help them be more successful in all three of those areas.
Our shortcomings, they're in part of the IRS, they are in part the problem of Congress. We mentioned earlier the invariably complicated tax code, but also funding. Isn't that the Congress's issue?
funding, the tax code, sort of the constant pendulum action of we want the IRS to be nicer, we want them to be meaner, that goes on, all of those things really rest at Congress's feet.
Now let's get another caller in. This is Dave, who's on the line with us at San Antonio, Texas.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Dave.
Love your show and great brass music in the break.
Oh, thanks very much.
I got a little spin on the, especially on the statistic that was thrown out that the number of the percentage of people that want to go that are willing to cheat on their taxes from 87 to 81.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, that's really still high, and I'm wondering if how the your guests. Whether they'd agree or disagree, that part of it is that our politicians, or some of them anyway, are framing the whole idea of taxes in an extremely negative light. If we have indeed a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, then our taxes run the government. But so often we hear that it's not the government's money, it's your money. We're going to give you a tax break. You should get tax relief.
Get the government out of your pocket, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that the government is stealing money, but it's our responsibility as taxpayers to, you know, to fork over and so that we can have good education for our kids and roads and all that stuff. And I just think that the politicians are contributing to the attitude, the general attitude of the public, which is, well, we shouldn't be paying taxes anyway, so it's, well, so maybe it's all right to cheat on them.
Jeff Trinka?
Yeah, I don't disagree. There's been a lot of IRS bashing. The agency could certainly do its job better on a daily basis, and it could do better with the resources they currently have. But the sort of attitude that somehow this is some sort of evil monster, and you know, you really have to squeeze down on it has really exacerbated the problem of going out and enforcing these laws. I mean, these are laws that people who we elect put on the books, and they're complicated, and they're easily manipulated, and certainly when you denigrate the agency, which is at its heart, an American institution, then people are going to thumb their noses at it.
Hey, Neil.
Yeah, quick, Dave.
One last comment. The great philosopher Pogo said it right, and that is, we've met the enemy. It's us.
Okay, Dave. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And thanks to both of our guests today. We appreciate both of them for their time. David Burnham was here in Studio 3A. He's a former reporter for the New York Times, co-founder and co-director of Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. Thanks very much, David.
Thank you.
And Jeff Trinka, appreciate your time today, too.
Thank you.
Jeff Trinka, former chief of staff of the National Commission on Restructuring the IRS. When we come back from a short break, we'll be talking about car donations and possible changes and how much you can deduct. This is NPR News.